Well, you're here for a special treat today. We're going to ask, in fact, we have asked volunteers from our congregation who speak different languages, who is native rather than United States. And except for Marjorie will be reading from her second language, which would be in French or Spanish. Okay, Spanish. She also may have also speak French, but she will read in Spanish. So I would invite our volunteer to stand up and introduce their name and what language they're reading from. And after they finished introducing their name and their language, the names and the language, I will say amen. And at that sign of amen, all of us will read in standing, all those volunteers, will read all at the same time the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 in unison, except for the congregation. And when we finished reading, I would ask Carrie or Jim to show the verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 in English. And I would invite you to stand and join us and read Acts 2, 1 to 4 together. Could you all stand, volunteer, would you please stand, and one at a time, would you introduce your name and the language that you're reading from?
Thank you.
Okay, I am Joseph, reading from Burmese, first language. And I just brief introduction. This Bible is translated by the original language of Hebrew and Greek by the New Englander, Adoniram and Ann Judson. Ann Judson came from Haverhill, Massachusetts, and that couple translated this Bible. So this is kind of neat for me to. And Marjorie's from Wynnum and from Hungary, right? Hungary originally from. Yeah. Wow. Yes, and I think it's Lithuania from, and Chinese, of course, first language for Rosa. All right, let me find my verse, and then when I find it, I'm going to say amen, and then amen, we'll read it loud and at all the same time. So don't worry if you finish sooner or later, but just read it, and let's read it out together. All right, here we go. Amen. Betayu ke pueni do akha tu tu apano di tani tyet te siwi ywe ni cha i tho akha le pi mong tai ke to atan ni takana kaung ke ma la ywe tu ni do ain ko phit le i tho khana chin dwe kwe pa to lo di mi sha ke do tin cha i tho tu atiri do di apo nai tin cha i tho tu apao ni le tan shin do wit nin do pyu ywe wit nin do ho pyo do akwin ko pe do mu di atai a myo myo ba ta saka a phin ho pyo cha i. All right. Did you get that? Yeah. We'll probably do that again next Sunday. I'm cleaning. But thank you so much. Let's give our volunteer a big round of applause. Thank you so much for reading it. Now, would you all stand, if you could, find Acts 2, 1 to 4. Let's read it together in unison. All right. Amen. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Happy birthday, church. Yes, this is the day, and let's give God a big round of applause. What? Wow. For his goodness, his faithfulness. And you know, when we think about church, really is we are his body. Christ is the head. And we are all connected. We're connected with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're connected with one another in spirit. And we're family. What a joy. What a blessing. Now, talking about Pentecost Sunday, It is not new. You have heard this from, if you are a regular attendee of church and you grew up as Christians, you'll hear every year about Pentecost Sunday and you hear about this gift of the Holy Spirit. But I want to remind and refresh us that Pentecost itself is not a new thing. Pentecost has been was celebrated in the Old Testament, and really it means that 50, the word Greek word is 50 days. It was the celebration of God asked the people to celebrate this feast. It's called the Feast of Weeks, a celebration of harvest of crops of Thanksgiving. And this Pentecost feast celebrations was taking place in the Old Testament, where the 50 days of the people who Israel, when they left Egypt and to the place where they arrived to Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, the law, right? Moses came down and gave that law. So the 50 days between the day of the, what do you call, the Passover leaving the Egypt, the Exodus, and arriving at Mount Sinai and giving the first law, the Ten Commandments. And God told the people to celebrate that throughout generations. And so in New Testament times, people from all over the place were coming to Jerusalem celebrating this feast, the Feast of Weeks, that God told the people to celebrate. So in itself, it's not a new thing. So they gather in Jerusalem, and one day there were thousands and thousands of people getting, I mean, the crowds are all over the place, Jerusalem. And we were told that Peter and the 11 were there, and 120 and more people, more disciples were there, waiting. Waiting because Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, 40 days after Easter, he told the disciples to wait and not leave Jerusalem and to stay put, for they will receive the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples were waiting. They were together in one place. And sure enough, on the 50th days after Easter, 10 days after Jesus went to heaven, he ascended to heaven, bodily went to heaven. That's when the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, took place, and which the verse that we just read. How did it happen? Supernaturally. I can't explain it. We can't figure this all out. Christianity, our faith, our God is a supernatural God. Can we say amen to that? Amen. It happened supernaturally. The floodgates of heaven were open, and the Holy Spirit came down. And how did it came down? It's like a strong, violent wind. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. That's supernatural. And verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I'm not going to expand all the verse by verse and read all the verses in the New Testament that talks about the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to read you some verses instead of keep talking about the Holy Spirit. But read the scripture, the Word of God, that talks about this beautiful person of the Holy Spirit. First of all, in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, as he met with the woman at the well. Jesus answered in chapter 4, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you will have asked him and he will have given you living water. In verse 13 of chapter 4, John chapter 4, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth. And going back farther in John, John chapter 7, verse, starting with verse 37. On the last day and greatest day of the feast, with the Feast of Booth, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. In John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And reading from Acts 2, when the disciples, when Peter and the 11 and the crowd, the believers received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, the crowd that observed were shocked and thinking that, wow, these folks were speaking whether it been odd language or funny languages, or they thought that these folks were drunk because they were now speaking different tongues. And Peter, the disciples, got up, stood up in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. And he said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning." They are not drunk, but this is the prophecy being fulfilled. And it's interesting that Peter, A few months ago, the one, remember the Peter, when Jesus was arrested, did Peter stood before the crowd and say, "Hey, I am a follower of Jesus Christ and I believe in God." Did Peter do that? Not at all. What did Peter do? Peter denied Christ how many times? Three times. Now think about this. Peter had heard sermons after sermons, teaching after teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ for how many years? 3 full years. Okay? He had the living presence of Jesus side by side. He served with him. He lived with him. He dined with him. He performed miracles. He walked on, by crying out loud, Peter walked on what? Water. And yet when he was pushed to shelves, what did he do? And his life in danger. He was just like me. He was just like us. He was a coward. He has no power, no courage to stand up for God's truth, God's principle, and testifying the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He cowardly denied the very fact that he knew Christ. But when the Holy Spirit came on that Pentecost day, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, was Peter a coward? Not at all. Peter stood up. There was no clever lessons, no clever presentations, no tear-jerking sermon illustrations. But he went to the core of the message and said, "Folks, you killed Jesus." I mean, that's not a friendly sermon, is it? That's not a seeker type of sermons. That's not a sort of, let's not offend somebody here that they might not know the Lord. Peter went into the heart of the people and said, "You people, you killed Jesus. This Jesus who came from heaven to show God's love and perform miracles and do miraculous signs and heal and taught. You killed Jesus." I mean, If Peter preached like that today in many churches, in many places, he would not have welcome. In fact, we would highlight the fact that, oh, here comes Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. Let's just welcome him, all right? We won't do that. But Peter boldly stood up, courageously spoke, and testified the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented, you cannot analyze it. You cannot say, oh, that was a good sermon. But he could have changed his illustration here and there and make it longer or shorter, whatever, you know. But they were cut to the heart. Their hearts were touched. And you know what they say? When they heard that message, the sermon of Peter's sermon on that day, they asked, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? In verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, Peter said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostle, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. When you hear the gospel, there must be a response. You can't analyze. You can't go, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do 10 years. Oh, maybe some other day. But he got a response. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. When you hear the word of God, when you hear the gospel, the message of God, the gospel, you can't be neutral. You can't be indifferent. A response is needed. And the people responded that day as Peter called them to repent and be baptized in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how many people were added that day? 3,000 people were added on that single day. The first mega church, you can call that, right? Now, that was 2,000 years ago. Is God still doing that kind of power and filling people, the churches, individual, with the power to heal, to perform miracles, with the power of the Holy Spirit today in 2016? Absolutely yes and yes and yes. My friends, Christians, members and friends of WPC, we need to pray for that faith. The faith to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, in what God can do through us if we believe it. God can heal miraculously. God can change life miraculously. God can reconcile relationship, broken relationship. He can mend anything. All things are possible with God. Our God is a God of miracle. Our God is a supernatural God. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. Say amen. Amen. Because you say amen, I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to show you a 5-minute video clip. That will be the end of it. God still is doing a miracle and a life change. And I met a gentleman by the name of Anthony Grieve right here in Haverhill, Massachusetts. And I'm sure, Megan, you have so many stories, life being changed through your ministry, the power of God at college campuses. And we want to hear more than some days. And I'm sure you know all the stories. And please talk to Megan after service and get to know her and learn those stories. But for now, let's look at this video clip. It's possible. And it's life transformed.
Venues I'm touring with Judas Priest, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like getting to do all this stuff. There's almost, in one sense, there's an emotional high about that. You're like, wow, this is the stuff that I dreamed of doing, and I'm doing it, I'm getting to live it.
As guitarist for the hard rock band Pop Evil, Anthony Grieve enjoyed the success of having 4 top 10 singles and living the life of a rock star.
For me, it was an identity thing. This is who I am. I'm Tony Grieve. I'm the guitar player of Pop Evil. This is what I do. It becomes your identity. And I think that scares people. Who would you be if you weren't?
Anthony's life was consumed with music, drugs, and alcohol. But the partying wasn't enough. And he fell into a deep depression.
There's an emptiness because it's not what you thought you'd be. And the bigger the band got, the emptier you were just walking into a black hole, going deeper and deeper into darkness, and there was less and less hope the further you went. And at this time, I remember crying out to God, who else are you going to cry out to? But people began to come into my life.
One of those people was a pastor who prayed with him, but Anthony says he didn't feel differently afterward. A few nights later, alone in his hotel room, Anthony had a talk with God.
I said, there's nothing different, but I believe in you. I said, God, why is this still hard? I heard God speak to me so crystal clear. He said, I created you for a relationship with me. It'll never work without me. See, and this was the thing. I never repented. I never repented of my sins. For the first time in my life, I felt the Holy Ghost convicting me about my sins. And so I began to just confess my sins out to God. And as I did, I broke. I mean, something in me broke. It was like I fell into his arms.
Anthony decided he should leave the band. He couldn't wait to tell his family what had happened.
I remember calling home and being like, listen, you guys, I know you don't understand, but I met Jesus. He is real. I thought, I'm going to leave all of this, and I'm going to come home, and I'm going to get to have a real relationship with my family. And they didn't want that. They didn't want that. They were livid. My father was livid that I was going to leave this band. I mean, the fame, the money that we're about to make, all this stuff, the band's about to blow up. And all of a sudden, you know, Tony changes his mind and says, I don't want this anymore.
Crushed by guilt and confusion, Anthony gave in to the pressure to stay with the band.
I felt trapped. What about all of our fans? You know, we have record deals. I'm signed to our managers. I literally felt like, you know what? There's no way out of this thing. So I backslid. And drinking, girls, you know, that sort of thing again. But in the back of my mind, you know, I'm like, I can't be living this way. I can't be. There's just this fight.
As a young Christian, Anthony was torn between his new faith and the world that was pulling him back in. He was on a visit home when he says the Lord spoke to him again.
He said, Mark 9:26. The passage was a story about Jesus casting an evil spirit out of a boy's body. I read this passage and I really freaked out because I thought the Lord was trying to tell me that I had a demon in me.
Anthony didn't understand what was happening, but felt that something supernatural was at work. So when a friend suggested that he try consulting a Ouija board, Anthony was willing.
I thought, it's a piece of plastic and a board. I mean, how harmful can it be? All of a sudden, it began to work. And something began to feel terribly wrong. And in that moment, my brother cries out. And this thing enters his body. And it just kind of flies him back to the ground. I remember stepping back and just being terrified. Where he turned and looked at me. And I never experienced that much hate in all of my life to see this thing looking at me through my brother. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's going to be you or him. And again, he brought that scripture back to mind, 9:26. 9:26, cast out that devil, boy. And all of a sudden, I felt boldness hit me. And I remember I just jumped over my brother and palmed his head. And I took authority over the devil. And I remember it was like a thing lost all power immediately, just gone. His head shot back, his eyes rolled back. I mean, this thing convulsed at the name of Jesus.
Anthony says that experience made his decision very...
What became so real to me about this experience was God's word. Was his word. Because the scripture says, Jesus said, I've given you power and authority to cast out devils in my name. And it hit me. I thought, wow. I thought, if this is real, which I just experienced, then that means everything that Jesus said is real and is true. I was either going to choose the world or I was going to choose God. But I knew that you cannot have both. The two are just totally contrary to one another. And so eventually I laid it all down. I left the band. Just totally gave my life to God, just to be completely surrendered to him and used by him.
After leaving the band, he began a journey to discover God's plan for his life. That search led him to seminary, where he is preparing to go into the ministry. Anthony says that
God is still moving. 2,000 years ago and today, and men and women, salvation is found in no one else. Acts chapter 4 tells us that. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And when the disciples knew that this is the risen Lord, and they saw him after the resurrection, and they said, what shall we do? And Jesus said, go. He gave them the greatest commandments, the great commissions in Matthew chapter 27 to verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Men and women, God has called us to go and love God and love our neighbors. God has called us to go to all the nations, to Wynnum, Pelham, Derry, Londonderry, to Worcester, Massachusetts, New England, United States, around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't go there until you receive the Holy Spirit. It will not work. We need God's power. We need God's Spirit. If you go without the Holy Spirit, we'll be like, oh, I can't do it. I might offend them. I don't know what to say. Oh, I might lose that relationship. I might lose my position, my status. I mean, there's a might or what if and but. A lot of this will come and you will not be effective. We need the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We're Christians. We believe in God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But we need to pray for faith for the Holy Spirit. Faith for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God and that he can do what he says he can do, and he can change life. He can transform life. Tony Grieve is the proof of that. Do you have the pictures of that with me sitting next to this for my one moment of fame? Last week, I met Tony in Havel, Massachusetts through a friend. It's by all God's orchestrating. I met him. Never met him before. This is him today. He's in his third year of seminary, and he will come in the fall to share his story with us. Amen? And he's praying for us. He's praying for me. He's praying for my ministry. Until today, his father is not talking to him for leaving the band. But what loss is gain in Christ? And so I was so moved, and I tweeted him Chinese buffet. And he just came out his 3 days fasting. He couldn't eat, so I ate most of it. But he's in ministry. And that's him today. And he's now in mission work in California, but he'll be back. Men and women, do you have family members who are in captivity of some kind of under the devil authorities? Whether it be depressions, mental illness, any type, drug addictions, relations problems. God can heal. God has the power. In fact, God has given that power to the church. Do you believe that? Amen? All things are possible with God. That is the Pentecost. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. And our prayer should be, fill me, Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and sing God's praise, our closing song. This is Amazing Grace.